wonderful to see everyone out this morning. And it's always wonderful to be able to gather together, to come out, to study as we have the opportunity to do so, to worship God, to uplift and edify one another. Always encouraged, I'm always encouraged to be able to come here, to be with you, and always truly do feel the privilege to be able to present the Word of God as the opportunity is given to me. You will open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 12. I want to start there in Romans chapter 12 and read starting in verse 9. Romans chapter 12 and start in verse 9. Here it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." In these verses in Romans chapter 12, as we started there in verse 9, that we just read, has a lot to say about how we treat one another, how we go about and helping one another, and how we're supposed to treat one another. And I want to talk about simply to the point of giving to others and how we care for one another. It speaks to brethren. It speaks to the point of our enemies, those who are persecuting us. It speaks about our relationship, of course, given to God. And so we serve the Lord, and in serving the Lord, it talks on how we are to be treating one another. So I hope that you open up your Bibles and follow along. We'll go through the lesson this morning about our relationship with others, a relationship with one another. So my first point I want to look at, though, is caring for one another, our care, that we are concerned and that we are to be giving to one another. And I don't mean just talking about money as we might think when we talk about giving and receiving. But truly being there for one another, that we care for our neighbors, we care for our brethren, we care for one another. In Matthew, turn along with me there, in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and start with me in verse 41. Matthew 5 and verse 41, it says, "And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." Here it doesn't specify when we're talking about our brethren or our neighbor. Here it says, whoever asks you, whoever comes to you in need, and it brings out that point, you know, give to him who asks. We've taught in classes and times past and talked about how, you know, we have to be wise in our choices, be wise and understand that if someone that we can see that is always coming, always just being wasteful, or that we feel that they might be trying to use it for the wrongful purposes, that there's ways of making sure that what we give to others is going towards the right. But we have to be willing to give in the first place. Sometimes we don't have the willingness to help others out at all. And so we have to be willing to give. We have to be willing to help. In James chapter 1, in verse 27. James chapter 1 and verse 27. Turn along with me here. James 1, 27. Here it reads, it says, "Pure and undefiled religion for God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Here it brings out that we should be visiting one another. Visiting those who need help. Visiting those who are alone and need someone to talk to or to just need comfort. And so when we consider looking at it, when we look at our brothers and sisters, we look at our neighbors, and we look out
Think of who needs to be visited, who needs to be checked up on, who needs to be called and seen. You know, we have so much that we can get. Sometimes we get caught up asking, well, what can I do? What is there really that I can do? We can be giving people phone calls. We can be sending letters. We can be visiting those who need our help. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. Hebrews 13 and verse 16 says, but do not forget to do good and to share with such sacrifices. God is well pleased. It says it's a sacrifice. You know, when you're willing to give something up that is yours, rightfully yours, and you see that someone else could aid or simply just being kind to share with someone else, it says God sees that. God realizes what you've done. That you've shown your love for your neighbor and you've shared what you have with others. We should be sharing the things. You know, how often do we have to try to teach our children to be willing to share? And yet the question comes up, do we do the same? You know, when it comes down to it, we're telling brothers and sisters, the kids, hey, you need to share that toy. You need to share the opportunity to make the choices of what you're going to watch. You need to share. And yet, do we set that example for the children? Do we show them that we share what we have with others? Sharing our love that we have through God. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. In Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 4, read here along with me. It says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Once again, it's not always just looking out for me, myself, and I. But we're looking out for what is good for all. What is good for our brethren. Once again, we look to Matthew 6 and verse 33 where it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When it says kingdom of God, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is his church, is his children. You know, so when we're considering certain things, we should be thinking about our brethren. Not only looking out for what's best for me, but looking out what's best for our brethren. Concern for one another. We should be giving and caring for one another. But in that, that means we're sharing our emotions. We know how one another feels. We are willing to share the emotions with one another. And giving to others, that means we're giving ourselves over to others, is what I'm talking about. You truly giving yourselves. As we give ourselves to the Lord, we should be giving ourselves to our brethren, to our neighbors. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, turn along with me there. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26 says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Do we act this way? When we see good come upon our brethren, do we truly rejoice with them? Are we happy for them? Are we glad for them? We already read it in Romans chapter 12, verse 15. We started off with those scriptures. Where it tells us there, though, that we weep with those we weep, that those who weep, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. Another point to bring out about this is that we can't weep with those who weep if we don't know they're weeping. If we don't know that they're in sorrow, that we don't know how things are going on in their life. Well, we have to be willing to open up. Sometimes we hold everything in. We want to keep our business to ourselves and we don't need to bother anyone else. How can we help if you're not willing to open up? How can we rejoice with you with the great things that are going on in life if you don't let us know? And how can we be there when you need a shoulder to lean on if you don't let us know? Of course, we have to be approachable. We have to be willing to be people that people are willing to come to. So therefore, it comes down to how much do we love one another? How much are we truly following in the footsteps of Christ? That we're willing to be there and share our emotions. To have brotherly love for one another. To truly be there for each other. Here, going back to Romans. Going back to Romans chapter 12, and read there in verse 10, and read there in verse 13. It says there in verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. So once again, that love for one another. Therefore, our brethren, the fellow saints that are following God, following Christ, and truly having that concern for each other. Do we have that much love for one another? That after we leave the building here on Sunday, and when we're not here on Wednesday, that we have concern for our brethren. That they're on our mind, not on our mind to the point that I'm mad at them. But that we love them. That we're careful for them. And we're going to check up on them. We're going to see how they are. If they're not here, that we're concerned. If we haven't heard, if no one knew where they were, we're concerned. Well, no one heard if they were sick. No one heard if they were traveling. Do we care where they're at? Yeah, brotherly love for one another. Turn along with me to 1 John 3, verse 17. 1 John chapter 3, and verse 17. It says, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Here brings me, it says, if you have what your brother needs, it's not saying what he wants. Otherwise, I have to go to Tom and David for their cars. They got things I might want. But if you have the things that your brother and sister are in need, you can tell that they are struggling and they need this possession, and you're able to help them out, and yet you just close the door on them. How does the love of God abide in you? We are to love our brethren, to be there and help our brethren. In 1 Peter chapter 4, you read along with me here in verse 9. And it says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold of grace of God. So here it says, as we've been blessed, as we've been given, use what God has blessed you with. And give it to others. Of course, here it says, without grumbling. And some people do things, and they grumble the whole time. Or as soon as they leave, and as soon as you welcomed everybody here to the building, you said hi, you may have shook their hand, gave them a hug. When you get in that car, you start complaining to the other person in the crowd. That's not how it should be. We should truly be concerned for our brethren. We should truly love one another, helping each other grow closer to God, giving to one another. But not just to our brethren, but strangers and to the poor. Turn along with me to Hebrews 13, going back to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, read with me here, starting in verse 1. It says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers. For by so doing, some have unwillingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. He says, don't forget to entertain strangers. Don't forget about those who are in prison. And we already read, visit the orphans and the widow. We should be wanting to help all. And once again, sometimes, people like to point that out when we're talking about sin. That we should be loving as God is. God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so we should just love everybody. We should love everybody. Absolutely. And here's verses that point to it. That we are to be there for strangers. That we should be there to help others. As the apostle, who's our neighbor? Well, who's my neighbor? The good neighbor is the person who stops and helps. Who's willing, who sees someone in need and he stops and helps. The good Samaritan. We are to be there for one another. Turn to Luke with me. Luke chapter 14. In Luke chapter 14. Read along with me here in verse 12. Luke 14 and verse 12 says, then he also said to him who invited him, When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friend, your brother, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Here, once again, here. Don't always just focus on your family. Don't always just focus on the best friends. Don't always focus on those who can invite you back, but invite those who can. Show them the love that God has shown to us. So when it comes down to it, we can't pay God back. We can't give as much as He has already given to us. And how much He continues to bless you with, and what He has promised to you if you will remain faithful to Him. There's so much in the Word of God on giving to others. Continue with me in talking about our enemies. And turn along with me to Matthew chapter 5. Going back to Matthew chapter 5, and you read with me in verse 43. Says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. Or if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." There it goes. You know, once again, even the enemies know who their friends are. Even those who are against us, even those who get caught up in, they know who they can trust and who they greet well and who's on their side. So if that's all we do, we're doing the same thing they are. We're to have love that God has shown to us. To care as God has cared for us. Going back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and going a little further than what we read earlier. Romans chapter 12. Reading there in verse 19. It says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine.' I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Once again, here it tells us, care for our enemies. Do not act like them, but act like the Lord. Have trust that if they do not change their ways, God will repay. We're to be giving to one another. One of the best ways to help us in doing that, as we see in the Word of God, is to treat others as if they were the Lord. Treat one another as if they were our Lord and Savior. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 23, here it reads, it says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Whatever you do, do it heartily to the Lord, not to men. Do it with all your might as unto the Lord and not just to men." Sitting thinking, you're doing good, but you grumble about it. Or you can do a job and you help someone out, but you're not going to give your best effort. But it says here, if you do it, do it as if it was for the Lord. That He's the one that knocked on your door and asked for help. He's the one that called you up and said, "Can you be there?" He's the one that is seeking your aid. How are you going to react?
See it again in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Reading there in verse 34. It says, "The king will say to those on the right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' And the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when? When did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty, and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" The thing is, it's the same way as you continue to read for those who didn't win. Those who were cast out, those who do not get to enter in, those who are not on the good side of the Lord or the king. Ask the same question. When did we ever see you hungry and not give you food? When did we ever see you naked and without clothes and in prison? When did we ever see you need our help? As much as you didn't do for any of these, you didn't do it for me. We treat one another as the Lord. Of course, not to the point of bowing down to them and worshiping them. They are not the Lord. But in how we treat mercy, we are to treat them as unto the Lord. We hope, we say we hope and pray for everybody. We truly care for one another. We turn to James chapter 2, and we'll see that faith without works is dead. We have to act upon our faith, upon what we truly want for one another. So James chapter 2, starting in verse 14, it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warm, filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Pretty simple. It makes it plain and clear. That you can't just sit here and say, "I hope that some visitors will come to our gospel meeting. I hope that someone will find out where brother so-and-so was today. I hope that they get that situation taken care of." And then we ourselves don't lift a finger to help. Don't do a single thing to do any good. Thought about it. Thought counts. Here it says it doesn't. It says you have to go further and be willing to aid. Faith without works is dead. So many scriptures through the Word of God that show and tell us that we need to be willing to help one another, to have concern for one another. Whether that's our enemies, our family, our brethren in Christ, strangers, poor, rich, or to be doing good unto all. You know, I want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation. We extend the opportunity for you to be saved, because that is what the Lord has blessed us with, what He has given to you. He sent His Son down to die for you so that your sins can be washed away. So if you're here this morning, you've yet to obey the gospel, we extend the opportunity for you to do so. If you need anything else, please extend that opportunity also to the prayers of the congregation while we stand and sing.
Far on the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my distress.